Welcome back. I'm Zinathi Kuma, and you're watching Stockwatch this week. And joining us for a review of the week's stock performances and answers to your stock-related questions is Chantal Marks from FNB Wealth and Investments. And be sure to send your questions via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Thanks so much for your time, Chantal. Quite interesting movements that we've seen in the markets this week, seeming that like the JSE is undecided. The Rand, though, quite steadfast in its strength this week. Talk to me about your sentiment when it comes to the JSE and also the Rand.
Yeah, the JSE looks like it's going absolutely nowhere. But if you delve in a little bit deeper, it is chaos and hectic, and there's a lot going on. And what you're seeing at the moment is a push and pull between Rand hedges, so your big international companies that are geared to a weaker Rand, and your SA Inc. stocks, your rundown, beaten down retailers and financial stocks, really staging a really nice comeback this week. A stronger Rand obviously helping, but I think generally sentiment has shifted a little bit, and the focus has gone into, well, what do the valuations say? And is there really a lot more downside to some of these beaten down SA Inc. stocks? I think, quite interestingly, that the Rand is starting to be more closely correlated to the load schedule. And we believe that international investors and local investors alike are watching the ESB app with a lot of interest, because these SA Inc. stocks are very much impacted by load shedding. And with a little bit of a reprieve, I think guys who have been wanting to get involved because the valuations look so attractive are now feeling a little bit more comfortable doing so.
I hope the investors are not in that ESP chat room. I'll leave it there. you talk about how now it seems that investors are looking at these valuations that, you know, they've been beaten down and maybe oversold, and that these are still good companies. So let's plow in. Is this what you're seeing with TFG? Because the results not so great, but that share price skyrocketing.
Yes. So when the market opened, the share price came under pressure, which is what you would have expected in a normal environment. So TFG put out results where revenue looked quite good, but they saw some pressure on their margins, higher finance costs playing a part, higher data costs playing a role as well, and earnings missed slightly, and they cut the dividend in order to be more conservative. Naturally, you would expect the share price to come under pressure, but I think that these valuations are now so compelling that investors are asking themselves, well, is this the worst reporting period, or are we close to the worst for these retailers? How much more downside is there really if you consider the kinds of business models that they run, the markets that they service, and the quality of their management teams and balance sheets? And I think that the latter argument has so far won out today. And that's why you saw a really nice pop in the share price, even though they released quite muted results. I wouldn't say it's bad, because I don't think it's bad at all. I just think that it is a little bit softer than what the market was expecting, and perhaps something that forms a really nice, more reasonable base for them to build off of.
All right. Well, a sector that has actually been going in the opposite direction than the rest of the market is the tech sector. It's actually pushed through very, very strongly this year. So there's a question here. The tech sector has been booming this year with the AI shift for growth. Could it be a safe space to be in for the long term?
So I think the AI shift has really been quite meaningful this year. I think ChatGPT changed absolutely everything, and it does seem as if AI thematic is performing quite well, and it's definitely drawing a lot of investor interest. What we are debating at the moment is whether or not it's pushing some of these AI exposed stocks into bubble territory.
Yeah.
Because you'll remember when the internet started. Well, we won't remember the markets, but we'll remember the dot-com bubble, learning about that when we learned about markets. There was a lot of excitement about it, and a lot of companies started getting involved, and a bubble formed, and it ultimately popped. And there were only a few survivors, a few key survivors of the dot-com bubble. And I think that with AI, it's going to be the same. So you need to look at companies that have diversified revenue streams that are not only focused on AI, and where they do have the scale and the ability to actually build a profitable business off of this technology. I think just blindly going after the theme is probably going to be a bad idea for the long term. But if you look towards the companies where you think your capital will be safe, regardless of how this AI story turns out, I think that's probably the better option right now. Is it in a bubble? Probably. I mean, Nvidia is trading at 100 times price to sales, but will the bubble pop now? I don't think so. I think this excitement could still ride a bit of a wave.
Yeah, and we even saw that during COVID. Let's not talk about Peloton. Just because so you're saying that, you know, they've run so hard, including Nvidia, and I wonder at this point if people should be taking profits or maybe wait, because you also mentioned that there could be more upside still, or maybe wait a little longer before you kind of leave those positions.
Yeah, I'm quite a fan of taking some money, but not all money off the table. When I'm positive on a theme or a company, it's done well. You don't have to just buy everything or sell everything at the same time. There's no shame in taking profit, and just don't beat yourself up afterwards if there's more gains to come and now you've taken some money off the table. It's just good portfolio management and it's just prudent investing. So if I had a big AI exposure and I'd done well with it so far, I would just trim my exposure. Perhaps take the profit off the table, leave the capital there, because there is, I think, still legs here, and the excitement is palpable, really.
Well, talk about trimming exposure. There were some investors that trimmed their exposure to MultiChoice yesterday after they released, was it a trading update? I know from conversations, interviews that you've had that you're a MultiChoice bull. I'm not sure how bullish or if it's a cautious bullishness. Obviously, their numbers don't look that great, like their bottom line numbers that they're forecasting. Yeah, MultiChoice, would you be taking your positions off MultiChoice or not?
Yeah, so I've liked MultiChoice for a really long time, and I do like the company from a longer term perspective. I like the fact that their rest of Africa business has now turned profitable, and it can continue to build on that profitability going forward and become a more meaningful part of that business. I don't believe they have a true competitor in the South African space, particularly when it comes to local content and sport. So I think all of those fundamentals are in place for a good long-term investment. A few months ago, I actually recommended a short on the stock, but it was more a trading type story rather than a longer-term dislike of the company and its fundamentals. And the reason why I kind of recommended it as a short was this load shedding scenario and the fact that interest rates are increasing. So that combination of consumers sitting down and saying, "Well, I can't watch television really at night because I'm load shedded 2 or 3 times a week. Interest rates are starting to bite. Where am I going to cut my additional expenses so that I can cover my household expenses as well as my rental or my mortgage?" And DStv kind of comes to mind as a natural space for that. Do I think that this is permanent or that this is going to taint the company in the very long term? Absolutely not. I still like it from a longer term perspective. I think that this is probably a really good entry point into MultiChoice if you take a 5 to 10 year view.
All right. Interesting view on that. There's another interesting question that's come through. I'm not sure if you'll be able to answer this fully. So, how do private equity and alternative assets behave differently to other assets as the state of the economy, inflation, interest rates, etc. change?
So private equity shouldn't behave as a very differently to equity because you're still investing in companies, right? I think what if you look at some of the listed investment holding companies on the JSE, you can see it kind of tracks SA Inc. more or less in the same way. So private equity shouldn't really be that impacted unless they have some big transactions up their sleeve. It shouldn't be impacted any differently to a normal equity investment. Alternative assets is actually quite interesting because it's a very, very broad space. So alternative assets can be your hedge funds that'll behave differently because they short certain stocks and they long certain stocks. So they tend to do a little bit better when the market is under pressure, when interest rates are high, when sentiment is negative. It can also include art, for example, that isn't tied to the real economy in any meaningful way. It can include classic cars. It can include infrastructure investments, which is actually something that we really like right now because the returns are quite solid. You usually get a very predictable payback period and cash flows, and that is not entirely tied to the real economy. So it does provide you with some really great diversification benefits. But as I say, it's so broad, but definitely an area to explore if you're looking for something less tied to what's happening on the ground in South Africa or globally at any point in time.
All right. Well, one of the big news this week was also Renergen. They got their approval for funding for their second phase of the Virginia project from the US and also from Standard Bank, of course, with certain conditions that must be fulfilled. What are you thinking of Renergen? Because it seems that everything they've said that they're going to do is actually happening.
Yes, I'm really happy for Renergen that they are able to get the funding to get these projects off the ground properly because it is actually quite exciting if you consider the role that they can play in South Africa from an LNG perspective, as well as the helium finding that they've had at that Virginia Gas project. It's very unique in the South African space and it is very high quality, which means that it's marketable in other areas of the world as well. My only thing with Renergen is I feel exactly the same way about Renergen that I would of any junior miner, where a lot of capital expenditure is coming, the balance sheet's going to be super geared, and it's going to be a while before those cash flows start coming in. So, I mean, I think if you are a more conservative investor like I am, you'd probably sit on the sidelines a little bit and see how those projects progress. But there are, of course, a lot of investors who like taking a chance on companies like this very early on, and the benefits could potentially be quite large. But yeah, I'm still in the cautious camp. It's just me. It's a personal thing. I don't like to get involved in the project stage of things.
All right. Talk about something that isn't junior, that's SPAR, going back into the retail space, but now food retailers. I actually noticed something quite interesting during the week. Allan Gray shareholders actually acquired some SPAR shares. Now they hold more than 10% of the total issued share capital. Saw that stock up about 4% on that day. I mean, SPAR's also been one where investors haven't really been sure about, at least for, I guess, the last 2 years, with some of the problems that they've had in Poland and also just the competitive landscape in South Africa and that food retail space. Talking about, investors going back into the beaten down SA Inc. stocks, would SPAR be one of these, or is there a little bit of caution? But I mean, also they are cleaning up house in terms of governance as well.
Yeah, so I mean, SPAR is definitely one of the more high beta plays if you're looking at SA Inc., just because it's been beaten down so much. I mean, you mentioned a few of the things, the boardroom drama, Poland, Switzerland hasn't been great, competition in South Africa. And I think the big thing for them in this specific reporting period was that disastrous SAP implementation in KwaZulu-Natal. And I've thought very long and hard about this without having seen their financial statements yet because they haven't released results yet. And I'm quite comfortable that the business model still has relevance in South Africa as well as in the markets that they're operating in. And that a lot of the pain that they've taken was very specific to this SAP implementation, which means that once the SAP implementation is done, things should improve and should improve quite rapidly. I mean, even things like their distribution costs, for example, would have increased a lot because KZN, the KZN distribution center was essentially offline, which means that KZN SPAR retailers, which is probably their biggest provincial footprint, had to be serviced by the distribution centers in other areas. I mean, the knock-on impact was just so chaotic. I think the sell down as well was very much driven by a combination of the myths, but also the narrative that they created in that trading statement or trading update. I mean, why mention the 700 million rand that the retailers that have absolutely nothing to do with you had to spend on load shedding? Because market participants are so focused on the impact of load shedding, now everyone thinks that SPAR spent 700 million rand on diesel, which is not the case. The retailers spent 700 million rand on diesel, but the SPAR is a wholesaler. So I think a lot of fear and chaos embedded in that share price reaction. We've seen a nice recovery so far. Is it my favorite from the food producers and SA Inc? Probably not. But I do think that it has potentially a bit more upside than the others, just given these factors and what happened to the share price a week and a half ago.
What about ARC? They came out with an update today. I know it's been one of your favorites. Are you still there?
Yeah, so I mean, I was and I still am a big fan of ARC. I think that the investments that they have in there are pretty solid. I see A2X is making some really good ground in terms of the number of listings that they have. PrimeBank is doing super exciting things in Southeast Asia, where we know there's a very big unbanked population. And then Rain is kind of ticking along nicely. I was a little bit disappointed to only see a tiny paragraph on Rain. It's a very big part of their business and their NAV, so I would have liked to see a little bit more information provided on that. The share price has been under pressure more recently, kind of trading sideways from the start of May after hitting a really nice peak in March. So I think that it's trading at a pretty sizable discount to NAV again. I would be interested in getting involved in the share at current levels. But yeah, I just wish disclosure was a little bit more forthright around Rain,
On
because I think
rain.
that could be a pressure point for them because of load shedding, the impact that that has on infrastructure. And yeah, I just feel like they've been a little bit quiet,
Okay,
Rain, more
I hear you on
recently.
that point because we've been getting a lot of information from the other telecoms players, really just highlighting the disastrous effects of load shedding. So I hear your point on that you would have liked more information. Well, let's get to your stock pick for today, Chantal.
Well, my stock pick, I am digging still in to SA Inc. I was scratching around this morning and I was torn between a favorite mid-cap of mine at the moment, Reinet, and Clicks won out. Because I think Clicks is one of those SA Inc. stocks that is always way too expensive to buy. So a lot of shareholders sit on the side, particularly South African retail shareholders, and say, well, I'm not going to buy something that trades on a 30 times PE. But they've got a very defensive earnings profile, very defensive cash flows, and some really good businesses in that stable. And at the moment, I think you're getting it at a much more reasonable valuation. If this is a stock that you've always wanted in your portfolio, but you've never had the chance to pull the trigger, I think now is as good a time as any.
And that is Clicks.
Yes.
Yes, all right. Thank you so much for your time, Chantal. Really appreciate it. As always, that was Chantal Marks from FNB Wealth and Investments. And that's all from Business Lunch this week. Nolutando and the rest of the team are back here on Monday. Same time, same place. I'm back on your screens with the close at 6 p.m. But until then, stay tuned for lots more coming up right here on Business Day TV.